This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
I had a different view of Gull in terms of, I mean, she's a stern judge just in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not like a happy-go-lucky judge up on the stand. She's stern, you know. She rules with an iron fist up there. Like most judges, she's, you know, a little short with defense attorneys, but that's par for the course. That's not just Gull. That's almost every judge up there. You know, defense attorneys just grade on people because we're probing around and, you know, we're always trying to dig in, and
Sure. Judges
don't necessarily like that. And so ultimately she does give him a lot of leeway, and he gets a huge amount of testimony out from Todd Click about all of these other individuals that they were investigating for years, you know, and their possible involvement, including Elvis Fields, the guy who walks up to one of these three cops after he's interviewed at the Rushville police station, I believe, and you know, says, "Hey, you know, if you find my spit on the girls and I can tell you why it happened, you know, am I going to be okay?" And, you know, who had also made two confessions to his sisters, who both went and took lie detectors that showed that there was no deception in the fact that he said these things to them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like them putting him on the lie box and saying, "Are these things that you said true?"
Yeah.
It's asking the sisters, did this guy really say these things to you? And it was showed no deception there. And he was saying, you know, I'm going away for a long time. I was out on the high bridge, you know, Abby was, you know, a feisty person. And, you know, like I put antlers in her hair, and I've got brothers now. And, you know, like the things that he's saying are like mind blowing, to the extent that, like, when I first read, and he fleshed it out, and why his testimony was important was because he's in a courtroom, he's under oath, and he's got Holman, Liggett, Tony Carter, all in that courtroom, just shooting darts at him with their eyes while he's sitting on the stand testifying, basically saying, "Your case against Richard Allen is weak.
Yeah.
And my case against these guys is strong." And he uses the word when the phrase, he says it when he finds out that Richard Allen was arrested, he testifies that he was shocked and confused. That's the words that he said, to the extent where he goes and consults with his own attorney who handles criminal matters and says, "What should I do about this? It's like these guys, these cops are completely ignoring our investigation."
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't some lone wolf cop.
Yeah.
There was three of them that were doing it. And they all felt very strongly. Ferency, the two other guys, Ferency and Murphy, were both part of the FBI anti-terrorism task force. So these are legit cops.
Yeah.
These aren't Barney Fife dudes. These are guys that all were really digging into this investigation. And so that ultimately, that meeting with his attorney results in him writing a letter to McClelland and saying, "Hey, you know, I just want to let you know I have some concerns about this arrest. And I'm hoping that you can, you know, have me come in and you can explain to me, you know, what am I missing? Because yeah. I read the PCA and it's not strong. You know, I'm not seeing it. The evidence that we've collected against these other individuals is stronger. And maybe you can make me feel better about it."
Yeah.
So, and he sends it certified to McClelland. And McClelland doesn't respond. And ultimately, he ends up getting a call to come and meet at Indiana State Police. And they put him in a room, and Holman's in there with them, and Mullen's in there with them, and I think a guy named Detective Vito are in this room with them, and essentially he gets in there and he says, "Look, I just want to make sure that all the work that me and Ferency and Murphy did made its way to Nick McClelland."
Mm-hmm.
like because I'm confused as to why he authorized the charges against Rick Allen in light of the evidence that we have. Like, I just need to be made to feel better about it. So they ended up giving him zero explanation. And they tell him, "Oh, oh yeah, you know what? We'll make sure to get all your information over to McClelland, insinuating that McClelland didn't get it. Now, I don't know if he did or he didn't. You know, at this point, they're locked in on an arrest, you know, and like once cops develop tunnel vision, that's it. And once the cops develop it, the prosecutor, if he agrees to the charges, he develops it and that's it. So ultimately, he ends up walking out of there completely unsatisfied, still shocked and confused and, you know, very concerned about the case. And, you know, to the extent where he volunteers to come testify, I have zero doubt that this cop is going to be the star witness.
Yeah.
Trial for the defense. And he's going to lay out their entire case as to alternate suspects. And to me, it's very compelling.
Extremely.
You know, and like, so he went through everything all the way from, you know, trying to, you know, because he was originally pulled in as a Rushville cop and told by the Unified Command, he's like in the early days before the Unified Command had abandoned this, you know, entire kind of thread or this entire leg of investigation. They said, look, see if you can make a connection between Brad Holder, who tons of people had called in and on the tip line said, this is a guy you need to look at. Like this guy, there's something going on with this dude. To the extent where they go contact him and he comes in and has this interview, which is the interview in question. It's the interview that ends up getting written over. And so that takes place. We don't know what that interview says. And he starts trying to make a connection between Holder, Elvis Fields, Brad Westfall, and Holder, Fields, and Johnny Messers, a fourth guy. Like those are the four main dudes. So they spend a huge amount of time investigating this, and they're able to make connections between Holder and Westfall immediately. They then start digging into this guy, Johnny Messer. It comes out at during the hearing that Messer, that his, you know, he has two exes. One is a baby mama. One, I don't know if she was married to him or not, or just a girlfriend, but she says that, look, you know, like I was practicing Odinism as well. I've got photographs of Messer, you know, Holder and Westfall together, you know, and that he ultimately was recruiting. Like Messer was a recruiter. He was trying to recruit people down in Rushville. So the missing piece is still Elvis Fields. Now, Elvis Fields is the guy, again, who gives this confession that he's at the crime scene. So ultimately, they keep digging and digging and digging. And there's some testimony that, and I just want to be abundantly clear, I'm looking at my notes.
Yeah.
And until I get the transcript, which I have ordered, I don't know if there's one or two phones that Click testifies to.
Okay.
Now, he testifies on the stand, and this is what I wrote verbatim, that there's a cell phone that existed that had a recording. Now, I don't know if it was video or audio. People were starting to say it was audio of a kidnapping that he conducted or that he was involved in of an individual at gunpoint. Okay. That obviously piques your interest.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like, all right, this dude's unhinged. It's clearly not a video of him kidnapping the girls.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows his potential of being capable of doing something like that.
Yeah. And if Odinists are doing that sort of thing, it shows another attempt at it or an action of doing that beyond just the girls, because everybody's looking at this going, this seems so far-fetched and so out there. Maybe not so far-fetched or out there.
I mean, for real, though.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.